Valley Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuwale Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuwale Ogbayani along with Paul Brecht. Happy middle of the week. Happy Manawahine Wednesday. Hope you guys have had a fabulous few days of the work week so far. And mahalo for tuning in this morning as we are just that much closer to the NFL draft coming up tomorrow. Reminder, tomorrow afternoon, we will have a special Hawaii Sports Radio Network NFL draft show from 2 to 5 p.m. in the afternoon featuring myself, Paul Brecht, and Michael Lescaro. So hope you guys can tune in tomorrow afternoon. We will bring you all the picks as they come in and give you our breakdown of them as well. And we'll see what happens. And it'll probably get a little wild as our teams pick throughout the first round. You guys already know, but that's why it's all fun. So we hope you guys tune in tomorrow afternoon right here for a special, I don't know, maybe we'll come up with a catchy title between now and tomorrow. But
I'll start thinking about that as much as I can.
Because it's a completely different show. Usually when we do a separate recorded thing, we call it like After Hours in the Den. But this is going to be live afternoon NFL draft special. We hope you guys tune in. All right. We'll get through some NFL draft news as well as just some football news in general. Get you caught up with some water sports coming up on the show, being that some surfing news. I haven't given you guys a surfing update recently, and hear from a couple of we'll hear from a player from the women's water polo team and head coach Mo Ko as they get set to take on Cal State Fullerton this weekend to begin the Big West Conference Championships. And there's just a whole lot to get into. Probably the biggest news coming down today, however, this morning. First thing I see that when I open my eyes as the ESPN alert on my phone is that Reggie Bush has his 2005 Heisman Trophy reinstated 14 years after its forfeiture. It has happened, folks. The football gods have given Reggie Bush his Heisman Trophy back. But it's weird because we've been saying it for a while now that technically it's a whole entirely separate Heisman Trust that controls all of that. So I'm surprised it took a little while. I'm sure they went back and forth. But after almost two decades, Reggie Bush gets that 2005 Heisman Trophy back after, you know, all of this stuff and fans just not, maybe it's like the beginning of the fandom not liking the NCAA. And we know it all too well when we talk about the NCAA men's volleyball championship that has been taken away and still working to get back. But guess who actually sent us via our Instagram messaging of this Heisman Trophy situation? Our friend Kostas.
So that's where my thought went immediately as soon as I saw the news, was like, I think Kostas might be excited to see that. And I understand that they're two separate entities in the Heisman Committee and the actual NCAA committee. But at the same time, you look at that and it starts to peel back the Band-Aid. It starts to look back and it's like, well, okay, we can go back and we can start to look at some of these situations and, you know, judge them perhaps a little bit differently. Maybe we were a little too quick to rip away certain accomplishments and achievements. And I think there is a certain men's volleyball championship that could fall under that umbrella as well. Obviously, I don't know anything. I'm not chit-chatting with the NCAA day in and day out. But like Ku has mentioned and hinted at, it's continuing going on, trying to get that or something to get recognition for that, for that incredible team. And in case you missed our conversation with Kostas, I think you can go back and listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't listened to it yet, please do. It was an incredible convo with an incredible person who cared a lot about his teammates, who cared enough about his teammates that he wanted to write a whole darn book about it at times. So, I was really excited by this news, a little bit selfishly because of what could happen here in Hawaii down the line because of it, but also because it's simply the right thing to do and it's simply what should have happened a long time ago.
Yeah, and it's around during the same time of the era Error by the NCAA. I mean, I somewhat understand it from the Reggie Bush side because so the NCAA deemed that he received impermissible benefits, stuff like, you know, boosters paying for his family to come see him play. Oh my gosh, like that seems so long ago in the distance at this point, because seeing what all the student athletes get now. And then the UH Men's Volleyball Championship was 2002, and this Heisman Trophy was 2005. As Alan Mee is peeking in. Oh, he walked past already. I want to give him the victory sign for USC to get a Heisman Trophy back. But Michael Comer Ford, president of the Heisman Trophy Trust, said, quote, "We are thrilled to welcome Reggie Bush back to the Heisman family in recognition of his collegiate accomplishments. We considered the enormous changes in college athletics over the last several years and deciding that now is the right time to reinstate the trophy for Reggie. We are so happy to welcome him back." And so the replica gets returned to USC, and I don't think the NCAA itself is necessarily reinstating all of his records, because that had to get wiped away. So USC, I think the worst part about that decision back then, I mean, not only did he was a phenomenal player. It's not like he took performance enhancing drugs. He did it all on his own. It was just, ooh, these benefits and stuff. 2,890 all-purpose yards and accounted for 19 touchdowns while leading USC, which won at least a share of the national championship in 2003 and 2004. And of course, to the national championship game. So they were at their peak of everything. But the worst part that the NCAA did was basically force USC to disassociate themselves completely from Reggie Bush. Again, as if he did this whole bad thing. And then you look at the Johnny Manziel documentary and see all the wildness was going on. And you're like, wow, they forced USC to disassociate from Bush just for impermissible benefits at that time. Again, he wasn't like going out partying. He wasn't this type of disgrace to the sport or the league. And I mean, unfortunately, we've come this far, but it's just crazy that they forced the institution itself to take down his jersey numbers, to do all of this stuff. So fortunately, the powers that be made the correct decision, that being the Heisman Trust, to at least give Reggie Bush his trophy back. Because again, he didn't accumulate those yards by anything that, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Cheating?
No. Yeah, but there's another term that I'm looking for.
You're right in terms of the NCAA or at least the Heisman Committee finally doing the right thing. The NCAA has a long history of overstepping its boundaries and doing things like that, which there's a reason people don't explicitly love the NCAA, and I know that they're starting to improve their public image a little bit, but still, it's nice to see this where I think anybody who actually likes the sport of college football still recognizes Reggie Bush's numbers and career numbers, like, because that's how I feel when they take away, like, wins from coaches and whatever, mm-hmm. where I'm just like, shut up. No, the game happened. Like, we saw these things happen with our eyes. You can't take them away because, kind of like you're alluding to, it's not like he cheated. He didn't take steroids. He didn't take performance-enhancing drugs. He didn't do the Patriots, you know, scout the other team during practices and whatever. Like, it really comes down to quote-unquote impermissible benefits. That, what's impermissible? Because there was a point where players had to self-report if a fan bought them or paid for their six wings at Buffalo Wild Wings or got them a bagel, you know, or a coach provided a meal for them that wasn't like on an official visit or something. It had to be self-reported. Like, think about how silly some of that stuff is. All of that falls under impermissible benefits under the old NCAA's umbrella. So we're seeing a positive shift. I'm glad Reggie got his recognition back and the physical stuff back, because he deserves it. Because like I said, in the minds of true college football fans, those records never fell. Those records were never gone by the wayside. He was always an all-time great back because he didn't cheat the game. he did what everybody else did and just happened to get caught, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Which brings us now to Hawaii and talking about Kostas Theokarides, who had joined us last week. And looking at an entirely different situation, because those rules are technically still in place about amateurism and being a professional. So those rules are still in place. Now, everyone doesn't realize, like, NIL is completely separate from being a professional, you know, having an agent. But now people have agents to do their NIL deals. So it's all a weird, fuzzy gray area, but you're not supposed to get paid to play and be a professional. And that's kind of the world that we're at now. So with Kostas, however, I mean, the way that we look at it is, because I believe him, he's like, I did not have an agent. I did not get paid to play. I just played with a professional team, and he was never trying to hide it. It was very open, and it wasn't a secret that that's what happened in Greece before he enrolled at the University of Hawaii. Like, there's no secret to that. So it kind of looks like at that time, and Costa said that as well, that maybe the NCAA was just trying to make an example out of somebody and be like, hey, this is what's going to happen if you actually do this. And, you know, we're just not going to actually go through all the due diligence of investigating, because trying to do that with another country, like, we're just going to say that you did play professionally and we're going to assume you got paid because you played on a professional team. So that looks like enough for us. And we're going to take away the trophy just to set an example. Again, this was the time that they were laying down the hammer, because 2002 was national championship for Hawaii. 2005 was Reggie Bush's year of the Heisman Trophy, and they just wiped all of that stuff out at the time. But hopefully this gives us some hope that there is that light of the end of the tunnel that Kostas spoke about, that it will bring him the ultimate closure, whether it's the actual reinstatement of the national championship, or at the very least, UH is just like going to go rogue and let's hang the banner. We didn't do anything wrong.
I'm going to be so real. And this is why I'm not in Craig Angelus's position. I'd just hang the banner right now.
I've been saying hang the banner.
Who's going to stop me?
Forever.
Charlie Baker coming from the, you know, from the continent to come talk to me and be like, take this down. No. Like, come take it down yourself, big boy. What am I supposed to do here? Where at the end of the day, I always have pause when I think back to the Kostas situation, because is that not what Tom Beatty or Akira Jacobs just did?
So that's why, I mean, that's why it's weird,
that,
right?
Like, that's my confusion is, in a sense, it's just the youth filler or feeder program to the professional team, club, whatever. And when the best players are good enough, they play with that club, but they're still part of the program, the fillers. And there's no compensation for that. It's like school kids and whatnot. So I don't know. That's where my mind always goes when we have this conversation, just because it's like, it seems so simple. And it seems like if anybody, shout out to my sixth grade English teacher, Susan Bassett, Miss Bassett, who always reminded me what happens, or reminded us, our class, what happens when you assume. And she always talked about how it's right in the word. And that's where I'll leave that to the NCAA, because I think you're right. I think they just kind of assumed and didn't want to go through the full, quote, investigation and talk to the people who Kostas actually worked with in another country. And in general, this Reggie Bush reinstatement gives me real, real hope that we're moving in the right direction, not just for Kostas, not just for Hawaii, but in general, where we've seen multiple situations like this across the nation in multiple different sports. I hope that this is a domino effect, a chain reaction to seeing a lot of rightful accomplishments rejoin the official books.
Give us that 2002 national championship back. Dang it. But last thing too, though, just to reiterate for everyone, when we talked to Kostas, even outside of the recording, like, you can just tell, like, he genuinely feels bad for that situation, and so appreciative that the fans, no one holds a grudge or anything against him, but also you can just tell that he genuinely knows or feels like he did not do anything wrong, right? Like, you can tell when someone lies. You're a human. If he felt like, all right, maybe I kind of did do something wrong, he wouldn't be as hurt as he is, because he'd be like, all right, he would feel bad that he was responsible, but he seemed even more hurt because you're just like, oh, what did I do wrong? Like, I didn't do
anything.
It's like if someone just breaks up with you out of nowhere and you're like sitting there like, what did I do wrong? Everything seemed like it was going fine. And he just is going through that genuine heartbreak. And it's like, hurts my heart to see him be so vulnerable and like, give us our 2000. He did nothing wrong.
It's frustrating, especially after being able to meet him and chat with him. Like, I don't know if you ever got an opportunity to before, but that was my first time getting a chance to sit down and talk with him. And I like to think I got a pretty good BS meter. Like, I can read if somebody is full of it or not. And that was one of the most genuine conversations I've had in a hot minute. So that is, like, I wouldn't go to bat for somebody like this. I wouldn't go to bat for a situation like this unless I felt strongly, unless I felt like they were true, genuine people in this situation. And Kostas, throughout that entire conversation, this is a big reason why I believe that the NCAA didn't truly investigate to the extent that they should have.
Mm-hmm. Anywho, that's a good plug now. Time to get his book, in case you're curious of everything that he did go through following losing or the title getting stripped. So go buy his book, available at Amazon, Kostas, Warrior for Life. So just look that up and go and support the former Rainbow Warrior. All right, got to step aside. We'll be right back to continue some football talk as we get geared up for the draft. An extension I didn't want to see happen because it's a team in the division. But nonetheless, we'll talk football on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den, Ku'ule Agbayani and Paul Brecht. All right, before we get into some major signing news, probably the biggest news, bear with me, folks. The biggest news to come down this morning for us Chicago Bears fans, the unveiling of the new stadium plans.
Woo! I did see that. Actually, my buddies are talking about that in our group chat
I mean, it's exciting because it's still going to remain in the heart of Chicago, like where Soldier Field, the footprint where Soldier Field is now, state of the art. It looks pretty awesome. It's like gonna cost like $4 billion or something, and taxpayers over there are responsible for it. 4.6 billion domed lakefront stadium. Oh, it looks so pretty.
Better ye, not me.
So they were looking at places that were like 30 minutes away from the main part of the city where Soldier Field is now, which would have been ugly, but Bears president Kevin Warren called it the most attractive footprint in the world, and I must agree. So it'll have the lakefront and museum campus. It looks so pretty, you guys. And to all my fellow Chicago Bears fans, I was getting very irritated with the potential of them moving to other places, because if you guys have ever been to Chicago, if not, I highly recommend it because it's a beautiful, beautiful city with a lot of stuff to do. But also, it's just everything is in that area. Like, we could walk from the hotel to the stadium. Usually we'll like take a cab or something to get close to it. And then when it starts to get traffic, then you walk to the stadium. And then after the game is all piled, you just can walk along the lake and go to your hotel. It's crazy. We got to find out what they do there, because that main, I know what people know about Chicago, like with all the news, oh, they have like lots of problems with like the murder rate and all that stuff. But a lot of that happens in, as you guys are familiar with, like the south side of Chicago. But the main, I would equate it to like the downtown Honolulu, like the, or Waikiki, like the main touristy office area of Chicago, where Soldier Field is and Willis Tower. I was going to say Sears Tower, but they changed the name, which anyways, that's
it'll
conversation
be Sears Tower
where you see the lake and everything, all of that. Like you can walk through that place in the middle of the night or late at night and you actually feel really, really safe. Like I feel safer walking through Chicago than I do walking outside here like in Kalihi or downtown. And that's why I tell people like it's the best city to go and experience because you get a lot of the beauty. You have water right there. You have the Bears right over there. If you want to go watch the Blackhawks, it's not too far of a cab ride to Wrigley. If there's no traffic, maybe a 10-15 minute cab ride to go out to Wrigley. So everything's right there. But fortunately, Chicago, it looks so pretty. Look at that.
I'm
getting all excited.
Cool.
I'm like showing Paul over here, but I know you guys can't see it. But look it up. I highly encourage you to go see it. And I'm just very, very excited because I was going to be very sad if it did move out of its current footprint. But rejoice.
Biggest
and it's probably going to get
the NFC North today.
It's probably going to be my soul.
Sorry.
Ouch. Sorry. What did I ever do to you, Paul? I thought I was a good boss. And you know what? The state-of-the-art stadium will probably be built before our Aloha Stadium was built. But anyways, conversation for a different day. But yes, since Paul wants to remind me when I was trying to enjoy my good news of the Chicago Bears.
What do you mean? I said it was the biggest news out of the NFC North today.
I guess in terms of stadium built, yes.
We should probably let the beautiful people in on
should.
The information.
We should, just a little bit. All right, so probably one of the, the biggest news. Thanks, Paul. The Lions have a deal in place and agreed to an extension for wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown, 4 years and more than $120 million with $77 million guaranteed. As reported by Ian Rapoport, also the Bengals have exercised the fifth-year option for their top wide receiver, or one of them, Ja'Marr Chase, which of course was a no-brainer, but we shall see what happens this season should Joe Burrow stay healthy, because that guy is up for a massive deal as well.
I wasn't even talking about that.
Oh.
That's funny. That is so funny. I'm talking about Penei Sewell. Who literally 15 minutes ago agreed to an extension. So the Lions have been exceptionally active today. Penei Sewell with a 4-year, $112 million extension, the largest ever given to an offensive lineman.
$85 million guaranteed, by the way.
Jeez. But that was what I was referring to. I forgot St. Brown got that deal. I'm sitting here. I'm just like, I'm talking about offensive linemen. And then you talk about that. I'm like, wait a second. That happened? I'm like, but I did remember that. One of my buddies texted me how the Sun God deserved more. It's a good deal for the Lions in general. I say this often for a lot of teams. You should try and lock up your young stars to an extension as quickly as possible, because the longer you wait, the more expensive it's going to be. It's proven that way over the last decade, probably even longer, but the last decade's the most I've paid attention to free agency and the actual business and numbers side of things. Like, if you want to get a quote-unquote cheap deal on your star player, be the first one of that position group to get a deal done. Because it's what I want the Jets to do with Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson, because both of them are due big paydays here in the upcoming years. And Lions doing a nice job here with a couple of their young homegrown stars, re-signing them to big money, but money that won't be that big a couple of years down the line, especially considering the way we see the salary cap continue to jump year after year.
Well, and just the way that the Lions have continued to get better and better every single season, so they're just committing to, like you mentioned, their young stars that have helped them improve dramatically throughout the last couple of seasons. And you want to make sure your players feel like they are appreciated and taken care of, especially in Detroit, right? Detroit, we saw it all with Calvin Johnson. Detroit had that reputation of just not taking care of its stars and not taking care of its players. I mean, Matthew Stafford, of course, had says all great things about Detroit, but when you have a star like Calvin Johnson that has not even interacted with the franchise since he's retired up until last season, there is clearly animosity there where a lot of these players do not feel appreciated by the organization. So giving, you know, your top young talent this type of payday will essentially help the franchise because when, hey, they feel good, they play good, right? Like, oh, I got taken care of by this franchise. I want to continue to sacrifice my body for this team and this company because we've seen that time and time again where if a player, especially in football, and we see it a lot in basketball as well, if there is that rift and they don't feel appreciated, then they either sit out or they just, you can tell their mind is just not in it. And
it's a distraction.
When it's something physical like football, they're like, I'm not going to sacrifice my body for you guys that don't even care about me. So for both sides, I mean, it makes perfect sense for the Lions. And again, it pains me because they're in the same division as the Bears, but as long as it's not the Packers. And then you talk about like players getting more expensive, no brainer for the fifth year option for Ja'Marr Chase, obviously. Yeah. However, as I mentioned, if Joe Burrow stays healthy and the Bengals return to greatness like we've saw them a couple of years ago, I mean, that deal is going to be massive should Ja'Marr Chase have a significant role in the potential success. Like, if all goes well and they return to the Super Bowl and Ja'Marr Chase is a key as to why they return, because Joe Burrow already got his massive deal, right? But if Ja'Marr Chase is one of the key pieces, he'll be up for massive money, or even midway through the season, if it looks like he's a key part of this deal. Fifth year option, okay, well, we're going to convert that to something massive.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what the Bengals do, because as you mentioned, Joe Burrow already has his big deal. You have to re-sign T. Higgins to a long-term deal, I would imagine. I know they put the tag on him, but you also have to pay Ja'Marr Chase. So do you have to make a decision, T. Higgins or Ja'Marr Chase long-term? Because he can't franchise tag both of them next year, 2 years from now, or whatever. And it's one of those things where time is starting to tick a little bit for the Bengals to push over the top into that Super Bowl, because otherwise, then you'll start to see changes in that room. I don't think Ja'Marr Chase is going anywhere. You're right. He's going to get a massive deal. Somebody else staying in the AFC North, Rashad Bateman agreeing to an extension of a deal through 2026. With the Baltimore Ravens, obviously Bateman, a former receiver at Minnesota, after being drafted by the Ravens, he's dealt with a bevy of injuries throughout his career. So tons of NFL news today, especially coming out of the North divisions, both the NFC and AFC North.
Lots and lots and lots of money.
Biggest, though, the Bears Stadium. Let's
Woo,
go.
The Bears Stadium! That is the biggest. I need to go back to Chicago. I miss it so much.
Chicago.
No, but it's going to be crazy. But then if you're a franchise as well, I mean, this wide receiver class is loaded. So it feels like every
That's part
two,
of the conversation, right?
Maybe 3 years. But see, if this class is loaded, then next year or a couple of years, you're really taking a gamble. So that's all the interesting sports business side and how you manage a lot of these contracts and the salary cap when it comes to these pro sports leagues. And yeah, you take a gamble on some of these new receivers up and coming. We already saw the market start to shift when it comes to running backs. A lot of teams aren't spending that type of massive money anymore for running backs because you can get a guy with new legs like a couple years later in the draft a lot of the time. So hopefully we don't see that case. But then if you are the player themselves and you're someone like a Davante Adams, right, who is still, I believe, top three receivers in the league in terms of just talent, but then you go to an organization where it wasn't the best coaching situation and quarterback is arguable, but do you risk trying to go somewhere else and end up in a situation where it's not the best for you to get the ball? So as the player, you also have to balance that as well. Mm-hmm. And do you take this deal or do you try to get the highest number, but then you sacrifice the production? So it's a whole thing. It's crazy.
Did you bring up Justin Fields?
No.
Because I obviously...
No, he's not in the Bears anymore.
So. Well, that's the only reason I bring him up. So Justin Fields, league sources do expect the Steelers to decline his fifth-year option. So it'll be him and Russ both on the last year of their contracts this year battling it out. So, continuing the AFC NFC North news in a former Bear and current Steeler, going to be playing for his football life a little bit this season. And that makes two quarterbacks on that Pittsburgh roster, because I think Russell Wilson kind of doing the same thing, at least their starting quarterback football lives.
Yeah, at least Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl and got massive paydays. So go, Justin. Let's go. Beat old Russ out over there in Pittsburgh. All right, got to step aside. When we come back, we will get you caught up with some surfing and water polo news next on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kurele Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760. Edit.
4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside DJ Pauly B. I'm Kurele Ogbayani. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on Wake Up in the Den on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760 in HawaiiSportsRadio.com. You can also text us at 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481. Also coming up today, we have OIA softball action of the first round between Waianae and Campbell. Game time at 3 o'clock p.m. And Kyle Galdera and Alan Mia with the call this afternoon. So if you guys want to tune in, and then reminder that tomorrow afternoon we will have our Hawaii Sports Radio Network NFL Draft Special with myself, Michael Lascaro, and Paul Brecht over here. Going to have a good old time. Hopefully our studio does not fall apart by then. It's okay. We have a backup plan. So
who knows?
We'll be here. So tune in tomorrow afternoon.
Happening no matter what.
It'll be a fun time. Caleb Williams to the Chicago Bears. Baby.
His card's still sitting right here next to me. It's been up in this studio for Lord knows how long, since day one we moved into this studio from
pretty
the
much,
old one.
Pretty much. It's been there for a while. Oh, yeah. I forgot the coolest thing. Should Caleb Williams be drafted number one overall, which he better be, or else this is... I might walk out of the studio and the boys will have to like do the rest of the 3 hours by themselves, because I'll be like so disgusted if the Bears do not draft
you. I would not blame you at all.
But they're supposed to. And if and hopefully when they do, we are giving away a few Caleb Williams
cards.
First Bowman rookie card. So it is of him and his USC stuff. And yeah, it'll just, and then we'll mail it out to you for whoever wins. I haven't decided exactly what we're going to do. I'm just trying to get my mind focused on the, like, not get my hopes up too much because it is Chicago. However, there's a different RP in charge. So,
I will stake my reputation in sports on the fact that Caleb Williams will be the number one overall pick tomorrow.
In case, you guys better be prepared for the rest of the 2.5 hours that you'll have to do by yourself, because I will walk out.
I will be perfectly fine, because when Caleb Williams falls to the Jets at 10th overall, what would you think if our friend Roma Dunze also ended up with the Chicago Bears, that 9th overall pick, and... I know that CB has a connection to Rome, and Caleb Williams saw Rome yesterday on their flight out from Detroit or to Detroit.
Between the stadium news today and if tomorrow went perfectly and is Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze or just one of the top receivers, I mean, this Chicago Bears fan would just be like,
setting up
in heaven. I would be so happy.
Pretty good Aloha Friday.
Might turn into like an obnoxious draft show tomorrow. I don't know. It's going to be fun. You guys got to tune in. All right.
Be a good time.
All right. So the women's water polo team for UH getting ready for the Big West Championships this weekend. Friday, they will play Hawaii's the number one seed, and then they will play the 8 seed in Cal State Fullerton. That game will be nice and early, 7 a.m. Hawaii time, and you can watch it on ESPN Plus. But this is what head coach Mo Koh and one of their top players, center Bia Diaz, had to say yesterday as they gear up for the tournament.
Whole season to get you ready for this point, and the end of this, there's a championship trophy you guys want to hold. How excited is this team? How confident is this team that you guys can finish what you started?
I think we're really excited. This is a really big moment. We've come a long way, and we're really focused. This has been our biggest goal since the beginning. We've been working towards this, and I think this is the end goal, so we're really focused and excited to do a good job this weekend.
It's been since 2021 since this team's been able to add a banner from tournament championship. How much is that the motivation from the beginning of the year as far as wanting to do something that this program hasn't done in a while?
Yeah, I think last year we fell short, and this year we have a really special group, and I think we're just focused on what we've been working since the beginning, and obviously having that in the back of our minds, but we're all, we're a really close group, and we're just excited to show what we can do this weekend and play as a team.
You guys had some time off between matches a little bit. You know, you guys celebrating senior night and then Coach Bell, and you guys had a little bit of time off. How did that kind of help you guys? But at the same time, how do you guys, you know, keep that momentum going from your last win?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to have time to work on ourselves too and not just prepare for other teams. So I think this week we had in between senior night and Big West was really important for us to get sharp on things that we had to. And yeah, it was just good to have time with our group.
You mentioned the Big West Championships, and I hate to ask you about last year, but it was such kind of a heartbreaking match in the final. Have you guys used that match from last year as motivation at all, or have you guys even talked about it?
Yeah, I think we've talked about it. I think we moved on from it. It's definitely, like, there still, but we're motivated to – it's a different group this year. It's a different team. We have really special players together, and, yeah, I think that motivates us and just makes us want it even more. Mm-hmm.
And that was University of Hawaii Women's Water Polo Center, Bia Monteado-Diaz. Now here's head coach Maureen Cole.
All right, Coach, it's been since 2021 since being able to add another banner, tournament variety. How much is that one of the main missions of this season, is trying to get back onto that podium?
When we get together at the beginning of the year, it's always, you know, the foresight. We think about it a lot. We've talked about it, and we've put ourselves in good position. We just really want to play well this weekend and represent everyone well.
How do you feel this team has improved over the course of the year? Because obviously they came in as an impressive bunch. They've been impressive all season long, but how have they progressed in your eyes that makes them ready for something like this?
They've gotten a lot better. I mean, we've added new additions this year that have never gotten playing time, that have worked their butt off for the last several years, that are big pieces. We've also brought in girl Aggie Weston in January. She's come a long way. So just them learning our system, being in big game experience, getting big game experience, and just the details. They've just progressed a lot over the year. Our reads have gotten a lot better. Defensively, we're really tough. I'm excited for this weekend.
When you run through the regular season undefeated in Big West, is that a conversation you have to have? You feel like just because you beat these teams before doesn't mean that you're as ready to beat them this next time around?
100%. I think everyone is under the under. I mean, it's happened to us before. We've gone undefeated and then lost in the final. So a lot of these girls have experience having gone through that. And a tournament is completely different than a regular season game. So everything will be do or die. There's high stakes. And we understand that everyone will be out to play for an at-large bid, or automatic bid, sorry.
How important was kind of this week between the matches that you guys had, you know, after senior night going into the Big West? How did you guys kind of use that time off from playing against an opponent to your advantage?
I think we rested a little bit. I gave them a midweek day off, which I've never done. They're pretty excited about that. I think just keeping them fresh, having them come to the workout with a lot of energy, which they have. They've been really focused, locked in. It's been a great week of practice, which is always nice going into a tournament like this weekend.
Coach, I know as a coach, it's always trying to get better every single day, but just how do you feel in particular about the way they kind of have closed out the season? Because you guys have had a lot of success in the Big West, but you guys have played some pretty impressive matches the last few weeks in the regular season.
I'm impressed with, you know, mainly our defensively. We've held a lot of really good teams to 8-7 goals, which is our goal every single game, not to make it easy for other teams to score. So I think we've really locked in on that. And again, just excited with the way where we've been, but excited. I still think we haven't played our best game yet, and hope that we can continue to improve over the course of this weekend and hopefully the next few weeks.
talked about consistency a lot this season, being consistent. Are you guys where you want to be at this point in the season in terms of it?
Happy but never satisfied is kind of something I think we've played well. But again, there's every practice, every play, there's something we can analyze in film that we can do a little bit better. So again, that's the focus, is just the small details, fine tunings, little tweaks here and there that we can do this weekend and hopefully just be really sharp.
And that was women's water polo, UH women's water polo head coach Maureen Cole. Before that, it was one of their best players, center Bia Monteado Diaz, as they get geared up for the Big West tournament this weekend, looking to win their first Big West championship since 2021. That year when they won the Big West, they lost to UCLA, another foe of this women's water polo program in the NCAA tournament, lost to Irvine in the championship game in 2022, lost to Irvine again last year in overtime last season in the championship. So looking to get their way back to winning it all and punching their ticket into the NCAA tournament. Now, UC Irvine is the number 2 seed going into this weekend. So if things shake up again, they could likely play Irvine once again in the championship match. Of course, you got to get through the first round and then the semifinal round, which if they beat Cal State Fullerton in the first round, they will play either UC San Diego or CSUN, which could potentially set them up with that match against UC Irvine, who seems to have their number in these championship games. But
I'm so sick of Irvine, dude.
I know.
I'm just so sick of seeing them everywhere. Like, oh my goodness. They really are, like, I'll give them their flowers in this
moment. It's because their school's like the fancy part of California.
Well, it's because they're a bunch of anteaters. Golly. I'm so sick of them. No, I'm really excited for this water polo run. I think the Rainbow Wahine are a phenomenal team who, you can tell, have bonded over some of the pain over the past couple of seasons' results. And they did that to an unbeaten conference slate this season. It gives you reason to believe you can beat everyone in the tournament. But Coach Mo also talked a little bit about how you can't just rest on your laurels. You can't sit there and think, oh, we beat them once, that means we'll beat them again. And these teams will be looking for payback as well and would love nothing more than to upset the number 2 team in the country, Rainbow Wahine Hawaii Women's Water Polo. I mean, what a year they've had and what a year they hope to continue having now going into the Big West tournament.
And who's the number 1 team? UCLA.
UCLA.
Again, it's the fancy schools, darn it.
To be fair, that's like Coach Mo's school and Coach James Robinson's school. So
okay.
Fine, I guess. We don't hate the Bruins too much, you know, unless Alan Mia is listening.
Yeah,
and then,
Alan Mia.
And we hate the Bruins. Oh, God, UCLA.
All right, way up against the clock. Got to step aside to, and we'll be right back to close things out on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den, Ku'ule Agbayani and Paul Brecht. Happy Mana Wahine Wednesday. Woo! All right, so we got you caught up with the water polo. We were up against the clock, so I just wanted to make sure I give you guys your surfing updates. Where over the weekend, Hawaii's Gabriella Bryan actually won her first title on the championship tour, or her first event, by the way, at the Western Australia Margaret River Pro. The win also moved her up to number 5 in the rankings, so she has made the mid-season cuts. So fortunately, a bunch of actually Hawaii surfers had made the midseason cut. So if you guys aren't familiar with the championship tour in the WSL, after the fifth, so there's 10 events. After the fifth event, they only take a certain amount of the top surfers that continue to advance for the remainder of the season. And then it all culminates in the playoff or the championship.
I hate that so much.
Anywho, so as I mentioned, Gabby Bryan moves up to number 5, making the midseason cut. Also from Hawaii to make the midseason cut is Betty Lou Sakura Johnson. And then on the men's side, there are a bunch. So John Florence He actually lost in the championship of the Western Australia Margaret River Pro, but he is number three in the WSL rankings, and he makes the cut. Also, the other Hawaii surfers to make it past the midseason is Baron Mamiya, Imai Kalani-DeVault, and Seth Moniz. And just missing the cut is Ian Gentile. So you guys can go on worldsurfleague.com to keep up with the events. But I just was, after I saw that Gabby had won her first championship, I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't given the beautiful people a surfing update recently. So I think it's kind of hard too, because usually Carissa Moore is the one that's always at least competing for the championship between her and John Florence. So that's why it's always top of mind when I check to see how it's going. But now that Carissa Moore has taken a step back from competitive surfing, it's rare that on the women's side, the women of Hawaii make it to the championships until now. So shout out to Gabrielle O'Brien, not only Hawaii surfer winning an event on the championship tour, but her first that she has won so far. Hopefully first of many.
I was going to say, new star to the scene in Gabrielle O'Brien. And I hope so. Really, really do. Because Carissa Moore did such a phenomenal job carrying the flag for a while. It's tough to be the only one.
Mm-hmm.
I hope there's many more on the way.
Oh yeah, the future is bright, because even Betty Lou Sakura Johnson is.
Exactly.
She's been very competitive. So we'll keep you guys updated as the events go along. So the next event will be the Shiseido Tahiti Pro, and that won't be until May 22nd, which the way this year is flying by, that's going to be here in no time. So we got
about a
month break until the next championship tour event. All right. I've been saving the beautiful people of this, but to close out the show on this Manawahine Wednesday, I need to talk about the Tortured Poets Department.
All right, I'll go get Alan.
Hopefully he's listening right now. Okay, you guys, everyone knows I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. So Taylor Swift.
What?
I know, it's shocking, right? Paul had no idea. Like, he hangs out with me every morning and
I've
had
never
idea. So her new album, somewhat of a surprise album, or it was a surprise album in the first place, and then it was a surprise double album that she came out called The Tortured Poets Department. And, well, I guess the surprise over the weekend was that it dropped like the second half of the album. So it's like 31 songs. And yes, I have listened to all 31 songs, not once, not twice, but potentially three times, I think, at this point. I think I listened to it twice over the weekend, and then I went through it again, or because I pretty much put it on throughout my commute. So it's phenomenal. I mean, and it's different and it's very poetic. So I think, and the reason why I bring it up is because I am quite the nerd. Like, I love, there was a point when I was like younger and I loved poetry, and I was like obsessed with poetry, and I always tried to do like try to write my own poetry and whatnot. And I know this might come as a shock to Paul, because I say it all the time, and to Michael, I tell you guys, like, I'm not a writer, and currently I'm not a writer. But when I was younger, I think the first thing I ever like dreamt of being was an author. So it's weird how life and times change. And I honestly, in elementary, I was apparently a pretty decent writer, because you know how when you have like your vocabulary thing, and then we had assignments in elementary where you had to write a story using the vocabulary words. And when I guess I would always do well in that assignment. And my teacher actually encouraged me to enter like writing competitions and stuff when I was that young. I think it's more of because I just had a crazy imagination. So I would, that probably, and then I think it was somewhere in high school, might have been in one of my English classes, where I felt like I put my like heart and soul into this story that I wrote, and it bombed. So I was like, I was thinking like it was amazing. So I think after that, I'm like, yeah, maybe this writing thing is not for me, but I thoroughly enjoy it. So it brings me back to the Tortured Poets Department, because If you like poetry, I mean, this music from top to bottom is just phenomenal. Like, it does, I think when you first listen to it, it could sound depressing, and you can tell a lot of the songs were painful and they're written in a, from a place
it's
of pain.
It's called the Tortured Poets Department, guys.
But like the title is so perfect because it is pure poetry, and it's not even just the words, but also the composition of the music. It's very simple, and that's another fun fact. I very much enjoyed classical music at one point. I would listen to it as my pregame music. So it's amazing. Now, the thing I'm curious about, though, is how younger fans will relate to this album because they haven't really experienced life yet. And she has all these young fans. It's more teeny bopper that they enjoyed. But I love it so much. But I could go on and on forever. Lucky for you guys, we got to go. So for Paul Brecht, I'm Kutule Ogbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye.